know from consistent polling over 3 decades now, showing that the majority of the country, including conservatives and gun owners, wants more effective gun regulations, better background checks, and other policies. So the political disconnect is one part of the answer, and I think the power of the gun lobby, as you note. Beyond that, I think there are some interesting broader cultural questions that we face. Why is it that this kind of violence is in some ways so accepted in our country? There's a kind of a broad sense of resignation, I think, that there isn't a whole lot we can do about it. I think that there is, the sense that we're a violent society inherently, that sort of these ways of thinking about the problem and talking about it, I think validates it in certain ways that in some ways is unhelpful and perpetuates the problem. And this is part of what led me to write this book, because when I learned about this prevention method, behavioral threat assessment, I saw quite a lot of promise in it in terms of its focus on getting out front of the problem, not just thinking about, arguing about gun policy, which is very important and is a battle that will continue. But, in my view, can't be the only way that we approach this problem. This is a big, sprawling problem. It's complex and it requires a broader set of solutions. And so, by focusing more on community-based violence prevention work that is ideally constructive and gets in the way of the problem, is potentially very helpful to our prospects of doing better on this.
Mark, we're going to do part two of this conversation and post it at democracynow.org. But very quickly, if we can use the Oxford High School massacre as an example, it is hard to believe that happened less than 2 months ago, February 22nd, when Ethan Crumbley opened fire, killing four students and injuring many others. Now his parents also being held accountable. Could we end with that and how you think that's a perfect example of a mass shooting that could have been prevented?
Yeah, the Oxford High School mass shooting is a particularly stark case in terms of what I'm talking about. The circumstances of it, even for me as someone who's studied these cases for a decade now, quite astonishing in some ways in terms of the trail of warning signs and the number of people around the perpetrator who had a sense that he might commit this act of violence, including the parents. I mean, the alleged role of the parents is really quite shocking in some ways, in their apparent negligence of the deteriorating situation with their son and his trajectory toward violence. Appeared to even enable him by purchasing a firearm and ignoring warnings from the school. There are big questions about what the school did as well in terms of the warning signs being seen there. There were teachers who had become very alarmed about that student and had, referred him to counselors. The counselors were so concerned that they demanded that the parents remove the student from the school the morning before he attacked. And so this was a case where, if there were a threat assessment program in place and trained experts who had the ability to see better what was going on here in terms of warning signs, there would have been very different action taken, in my view. There's no way that that student would have been returned to the classroom. So even when you go beyond the disturbing questions of his access as a 15-year-old to a handgun, there's also the question of why was the situation so ignored in some ways.
And we're going to talk more about that in the second part of our conversation. Mark Fulman, author of the new book, Trigger Points: Inside the Mission to Stop Mass Shootings in America, national affairs editor at Mother Jones, where he covers gun violence and runs their mass shootings database, which we're going to talk about. Democracy Now! Has an immediate job opening for a news writer producer. Visit democracynow.org/jobs to find out more and apply immediately. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to Viva Lamont on WRCC Pittsburgh.
AIX Morning News Update. Mock's promise to rewrite rock history was prematurely and tragically interrupted last night when an overwhelming power surge totally destroyed Carnegie Hall and blacked out the entire city. Survivors described the destruction as evil, spooky, and wow, bad karma, man. Our cameras are on the scene.
My name's Mark Mansabot. I know you love the thing you got. You've never seen the likes of me. Why, I'm the biggest thing since World War III, girl. My name is Mark, I'm on fire, I'm the match, I'm the pyre, I'm the voodoo black musician priest. Why, I'm the greatest thing since World War III, girls.
You think he's acting, but he's not. His name's Mark, thanks a lot.
My name is Mark, thanks a lot. I'm the power Solomon used on lock. I am the plug, I am the snake, I'm the beat that makes you shake. I am the killer, I am the source, and you will worship me, of course. I'm the oracle, I'm the seer, the wit, there is no question that I am it. Hey girls,
thanks a lot. He looks so cool, but he's hot.
My name is Mark, thanks a lot. My name is Mark, thanks a lot. My name is Mark.
There was one room in her house that was always kept locked. It was the garage.
We'll be right back. fins and gills like some giant piranha fish, some obscene phallic symbol on wheels. Little rivers of anticipation ran down my inseam as I kicked those 500 Italian horses into life. And left reality behind me. 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. Oh! My hands slipped inside the belt of my trousers as we passed 80, 90 miles an hour. And as we hit the magic punching line, yes, my love exploded over my heart, bright pink web of interior. And at that moment, I thought of my mother. I don't need no drugs, I don't need no liquor. Said all I want is the candy of Ferrari. Your ruby lips, your perfect figure. Just want the key to your Ferrari. I'm gonna rev it, jam it, scram it, rim it, tear it. Bye.
Yeah, that's actually Death Cab for Cutie. Death Cab for Cutie doing CCR's Fortunate Son here on the Viva La Mock radio program. That version actually featured Sean Nelson of Harvey Danger on vocals. Before the Death Cab, how about some Franz Ferdinand and Take Me Out? Went back to Thomas Dolby's, I'm going to say 1988 album, Aliens Ate My Buick, for the keys to her Ferrari. I actually saw Thomas Dolby on that tour, a little place called The Ritz on Gratiot up in Roseville outside of Detroit. It was a good show. Lou Reed started off the entire set from the Rock and Roll soundtrack with My Name is Mock, because my name is indeed Paul, but it's a show called Viva La Mock. So people call me Mock. They call me the Mockster. They call me lots of things, actually. And I'm okay with all of them. Even the naughty ones. I'm okay. Welcome to my little radio show. My little program comes to each and every week at this time. Hour by hour, minute by minute. Never knowing what's going to happen. 1 second to the next. But I do want to remind you, as I'm going to get into some pop goodness here shortly, that you should actually pull up a chair for breakfast for dinner with DJ Chris Wired, because he serves up an audio feast of melodious harmonies and harmonic melodies. Includes power pop, punk, jangle pop, psychedelic, and anything that feeds the mind. And it's Sunday nights here on WRCT from 10 to 11. And he's got a rebroadcast at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. So if you miss that hour Sunday night because you're like, I go to bed Sunday night because I got to get up and work in the morning, well, then on Wednesday, on your way home from work, you can listen again. So always, always excited to promote the good shows here on WRCT. Hey, speaking of that Sean Nelson, Harvey Danger guy, got a chance to meet him a few years back. He was in town performing as a band member of these guys out of Seattle, some old friends of the Viva La Mock radio program. It's John Roderick and his project, The Long Winters.
Rice won't grow at home, and the moon doesn't favor girls. Counting on you to throw.
city lights, old and gray. The sun arose and tried to smile, gave it all away. The honky tonk called the stranger. The stranger couldn't pay the bill. Made a stand, raised his hand, sang a song.
Letting be, yeah, letting be. I believe they can. Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow.
Easy Beats wrapping up that set of music because, you know, I think every day I've got Friday on my mind. Before the Easy Beats from the Lolita Nation album, some Game Theory in there with Chardonnay. Also, Flash in the Pan gave us Hey, St. Peter. Always like to just remind you, because I know you'll know this by now because I've told you a bazillion times, but Flash in the Pan was actually a project by Harry Vanda and George Young. Harry Vanda and George Young were in the Easy Beats together in the 1960s. Flash in the Pan was from the 1970s. And George Young is the elder brother of those dudes in AC/DC. It's all true. Start off the entire set with The Long Winters from Seattle, Washington, in Shapes. That gets us to where we are now. We're just past half the hour. First half of the hour, which means we still got the second half of this hour to complete with more music. My name is Paul. It's a show called Viva La Mock. Thank you so much for tuning in. Got to remind you that your eyes are the windows to your health. You should actually schedule an eye exam to see if you're one of the 11 million Americans who has a common vision problem that can easily be corrected. Now remember, healthy eyes make for a healthier you. For more information, you can visit nei.nih.gov/healthy eyes. This message brought to you by the National Institutes of Health, the National Eye Institute, and of course, your good friends here at 88.3 FM WRCT. So I was talking to someone just the other day about Echo and the Bunnymen. And one thing that I've always been told about Echo and the Bunnymen is Ian McCullough was not Echo. He was part of the Bunnymen. Echo was the drum machine.
Here you come again, acting like a savior. There you go again, talking like a stranger. You're setting all the swords of fate. What we're becoming. And then I saw you in the distance, off and running.
never change.
The light shows and we all go, cause everyone's there.
I really like the way she looks in that halter top and elephant fleece. Driving down the highway in my Trans Am custom T-top car. Here's some Tracy Lee playing on the radio.
Incantation.
Some say she is a high priest of perfection generation. I am free.
And so is she.
And you are me.
And we are all together, all together. People say.
Driving down the highway in my Trans Am
custom T-top car.
Here's some BTO.
From the Third Eye album, that's some Red Cross here on the Viva La Mach radio program with Elephant Flares wrapping up that set of music. Before the Red Cross, brand new music from the Brothers Steve. New album's called Dose, and I played Wizard of Love. Before that, some Smithereens from their 1986 album, Especially for You, with Strangers When We Meet. Speaking of Strangers When We Meet, that happened to me the other night. I was out and about. Just hitting the town solo, just meeting people, just randomly talking to people, and that's where that conversation about Echo and the Bunnymen came up. So before the Smithereens, I played Ian McCullough. I went back to his debut solo album from 1989, Candleland, for Proud to Fall, but he was one of the Bunnymen. Will Sargent, Ian, the other guys, all part of Echo and the Bunnymen. So I start off that set with some Ian. We got about 10 more minutes, a little over 10 minutes, let's say 12 minutes, somewhere between 12 and 10 minutes, between 12 and 0 minutes probably, before we get to the top of the hour and wrap up at least an hour of what we call the Viva La Mach radio program. My name is Paul. If you ever have a suggestion for a song, you can reach out to me via the emails, and you can send me a request at wrctrequest@gmail.com. Part of that Echo and the Bunnymen conversation I had, and I said we're talking all things pop music. It was brought up about Wire's third album. Like, there's Pink Flag, which is a must-have in collections. There's Chairs Missing, which is yet another phenomenal album. And then there's the underrated third album in the trilogy called 154, which actually stands for, get this, 154. They named it after the number of live shows they had done up into that time. So why not go back to that album? Just revisit it. It's Map Reference, 41 degrees north, 90 degrees west, here on Viva La Mac. It's Wire.
And I've seen Lula defines with geometry. And I'm Lula Bar, expanse of geography. An aerial photographer overexposed.
A fear of failure won't hold me back from hoping someday you'll be mine. A fear of failure won't hold me back from hoping someday I'll be right. And I will write my name upon you, take you home to bed and keep you warm through the darkest night. I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough to sleep with me tonight. We grew up fast, couldn't wait till morning. We stayed awake till dawn and spent the whole day falling asleep. We grew up fast, couldn't wait till morning. We stayed awake till dawn and spent the whole day falling apart. And I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough to sleep with me tonight. A fear of failure won't hold me back from hoping someday I'll be right. A fear of
that is the band Ball Boy asking you the perennial question, are you drunk enough to sleep with me tonight here on the Viva La Mock radio program? I pulled that one off of their debut album, A Guide for the Daylight Hours. Ball Boy, a Scottish band, who I think they're still out there doing it today. That actually was released back in 2002. Before the Ball Boy, some Smiths from Manchester, England with Panic. Because you know what? I think everybody wants at some point to hang the DJ. Sadly, I'm the DJ that at some point everybody wants to hang. But I am Paul. I am the Mockster. It is a show called Viva La Mock. Before the Smiths, I should just wrap up what was in that set of music. Wire went to their third album, 154, for the coordinates of... map reference 41 degrees north, 90 degrees west, which I believe is somewhere in the middle of Iowa. I believe. And that gets us here. We are wrapping up the hour. Or I should say, we're wrapping up an hour of this radio program. I do want to remind you that Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza. It's in their name, but they also have hoagies and wings. And they specialize in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. They don't use any refined sugar in their sauce, any unbleached flour in their dough. And they are committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic because the only way to order their pizza is online at this point. And it's safe way to order and pay for your pizza, and you get a contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering at SpackBrothers.com. More information about Spack Brothers, you can try calling them, 412-362-SPAK, or again, their website, SpackBrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or SPAKBrothers.com.
it's gonna make me go blind. Whitey going down to my toes. Lord have mercy, white light had a good soul. White light going down to my brain. Ooh, oh, don't you know it's gonna make me insane. Whitey going down to my toes. Lord have mercy, white light had a good soul. Push it.
That is Lou Reed live. You can tell by all the people clapping.